Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to talk today about what time it is. I want to ask that question. What time is it? What are the times we're living in? It's so important to know not only who we are, but it's important for us to understand the times we live in, because we actually can't fully understand who we are without understanding to whom we belong, and to understand what he says about the times we're living in. Because if we understand the times, if we understand who we are in Christ and how he looks at the times we're living in, without being able to see that, we're not going to be able to make right judgments about how to best use our time, how to maximize our time, how to make the most of our time, which is important. People talk about it, believers and unbelievers talk about this, and how important it is to maximize our time, make the most of it, make the most of our time. But if we don't really understand our times, it's very difficult to be able to make an accurate value judgment of what's the most important thing I can do with the time I'm living in and the time I've been given. So I want to begin with just thinking about things the Catechism tells us. Paragraph 670 from the Catechism. Since the ascension of God's plan has entered into its fulfillment, we are now already in the last hour. We're in the last hour of human history. That's a biblical perspective of the times we live in. Something has dramatically changed in the meaning of time, of what time means. How did that happen? It happened through the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the one who made it all, you know, creation, which includes you and me, was made by, Scripture tells us, was made by him and made for him. Jesus, the Word through whom all things were made, entered his own creation. And he did something to time. The church tries to express it by saying he filled time full, that somehow the purpose of God for human history, for humanity, reached its fullness in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and God entering his own time. Partly because of something I talked about yesterday. And if you didn't have a chance to tune in the program yesterday, I encourage you to, you can go to our website, listen to it right on our computer at renewalministries.net, or download it, listen to it on your iPod or whatever device you use, or you can just get the app at Ave Maria or Renewal Ministries and listen to it whenever you want there as well. I talked yesterday about the Eucharist and about, in the Eucharist, Jesus opened eternity to us in a unique way. We can touch the Father, we can touch eternity in that moment in which we receive together as the people of God, the body of Christ, when Jesus himself is made present, body, soul, divinity, on that altar, and heaven is opened. It's like a portal is opened between heaven and earth. It's really true. That's really what's going on. And eternity is opened up to us. So eternity in the person of Jesus Christ enters time and fills it up. So that's one fundamental reality or way in which the times we live in are different. They're unique. It's not the same old, same old. It's not just a running clock. Something different has happened. And we're also in the last hour because we're living between the two comings of Jesus. Jesus came the first time as a lamb, Scripture says, to lay down his life and to become a sacrifice for sin. Jesus came on a mission. And his mission was to come and die. His mission was to come and in his death to destroy the dominion and the reign of sin and the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what Jesus came to do. To bring down a dominion. To bring down the rule and reign of Satan and his kingdom, which was present in the earth and only able to be resisted in a certain way, at a certain level, ultimately only to be effectively resisted by the grace of God at any point in the history of the world. But the coming of Jesus was the decisive turning point. As I mentioned yesterday, Jesus was uniquely aware that the devil had no hold on him. For the first time, a human person enters the world. Jesus is the God-man who, as flesh and blood, like you and me, he's the son of Mary, born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, a member of the people of Israel. The devil confronted in Jesus a reality of which he had no power. He could try to seduce him, which we saw in the battle with Jesus in the desert. It's so awesome to see that story. You know, Jesus, after 30 years of living quietly and waiting upon the Father's plan to begin to unfold when the time was right, at age 30, as we understand, he went to the River Jordan, and according to in desire to fulfill the law, he's baptized by John. He comes out of the waters of baptism. The Father, there's a theophany, a revelation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The voice of the Father is heard. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And the great battle begins to unfold. Jesus comes out of the water, a ready warrior. One of the first things he does is he goes right to the desert to fast and to pray and to take on Satan. There's a new sheriff in town. I don't mean to trivialize it, but literally that's the kind of thing the devil realized, uh-oh, something's up. And Jesus came to destroy that power, the power of Satan over every human heart. Every human heart that is willing to say yes to Jesus, who receives the sacrifice and the offering of Jesus. Jesus will give a share in what belongs to him. So we live between the time of Jesus' two comings. He came the first time, as I said, as a lamb to accomplish the victory over Satan, the cleansing of the human heart from sin, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus didn't come just to enhance our life here on earth or to help us feel emotionally integrated or to have fun or whatever. Those things are positives. But Jesus came to take away sin, to make it possible for human sin to be forgiven. Because human sin is what is destroying the human heart. It's what separates us from God. It's ultimately what leads us to eternal separation from God. So Jesus came to make it possible, and then he established a visible church on the apostles and prophets, and he instituted the priesthood, and he made it possible for every generation until he comes again to have their sins forgiven and to be united to God. Jesus made provision to make it possible for us to remain free from the domination and the ultimate power of condemnation that sin can have over the human heart under the dominion of Satan if we say yes to sin and become his slaves. So it's a time of mercy for the world, this last hour, this time between the two comings, but he's going to come again, as I've said many, many times on the program. He's coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. We say it every Sunday in the creed. But I wonder how deep that confession really goes in our minds and hearts. Do we really believe it? Do we know that the next great thing, the future of the human race, is in the hands of the one who will come again in his glory? And then he's going to deal with the enemies of God definitively, and he's going to establish a new heaven and a new earth. So we live in a time when Christ has taken his throne. He's at the right hand of the Father, and in his flesh the new humanity has begun. The Father's plan for the future of the human race, it has begun in Jesus. He's the firstborn of a new creation. The church is that living sign on the earth that participates already in a profound and mysterious way in Jesus' new creation. And the church is the instrument of salvation for the world, the means through which the grace of the King and a revelation of the kingdom comes into the world. This is what is at the heart of the last hour of human history. The most significant organ, instrument in the world, the most important mission in the world, is the mission of the church. And the church is constantly in a battle, and we certainly see it in our time, don't we? A church made up of sinners, living in the midst of a spiritual battle, and some totally asleep, some deeply in bondage to the world and to a consuming kind of worldliness, and have given access to the devil. And this is the devil's attempt to get into the church and try to destroy it and bring it down. The church is the only serious threat. The Christian, baptized into Christ, is the only serious threat to the kingdom of darkness on the earth, to the reign of Satan. And so in this last hour, what we're told by the Catechism is that the church lives in a battle. Paragraph 671, though already present in his church, Christ's reign is nevertheless yet to be fulfilled with power and great glory by the king's return to the earth. With power and great glory by the king's return to the earth. By the way, stop for a minute. You have a king. We all have a king. King Jesus is on the throne, and he will reign forever and ever. And every knee will bend, and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's King and Lord of all. The Catechism goes on in the same paragraph. This reign is still under attack by evil powers. That's what we're seeing today in the revelation of the sins of the church. How deep this attack can go. But Jesus is coming in our time. He's here. He's revealing the sin. He's shedding his light on it. Zeal for his Father's house consumes him because of the wickedness who forsake his law, Scripture says. Jesus hates sin. He loves his bride. And he's coming to root it out, not to humiliate or destroy the church. He's exposing the sins of the church, and he wants to empower, he wants to strengthen and give courage in the fear of the Lord, a courage to the leaders of the church, both clergy and lay, to lead the church courageously, knowing, yes, we're all weak, we're all sinful, but crying out for our King and obeying him and walking in his footsteps, so that he can purify his church. Paragraph 672, according to the Lord, the present time is the time of the Spirit and of witness. Are you alive in the Spirit? Are you a walking witness? Witness really means martyr. Are you willing to lay down your life for Christ? But also, it's a time still marked by distress and the trial of evil, which does not spare the church and ushers in the struggles of the last days. It's a time of waiting and watching. Are you alert? Are you awake? Do you see the trial? Are you in the battle? Are you awake to the times that you live in? God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.